Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Well, we want to carry on, in a sense, from where we've been kind of going over the last weeks. Obviously, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at these next steps, and hopefully everyone's had the chance to have a look through it, pray through it, see what God's saying to them about it. But I just want to say that it's no coincidence at all that over the leading up to this point, that from this place here, God spoke to all of us about intimacy. He's speaking to us about devoted to one another and about going. And I have been running with this thing from intimacy to action. So there's you can have the intimacy and do nothing with it. You can have all the action with no power. But God wants both. God knows that the only way, the best way, to make sure that the word has life is for you to be alive. And when you deliver it, you're full of life. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. So from intimacy to action, that's what God is calling us to. So over the last few weeks, kind of looking through this booklet, some of the words that have kind of popped out, which some of them have been highlighted as well, just to make sure that we don't miss them, is the tightly knitted net. Now say that when you've had a few drinks. The nightly knitted knit, the nightly knitted knoot. But it's a tightly knitted net. Caroline's got it. And I was trying to figure it out, tightly knitted net, and I was thinking to myself, what is a tightly knitted net? Well, it's a load of holes held together with string. That's kind of what a net is. The smaller the hole, the smaller the net, the bit of string. And I was saying to the Lord all about like the net and the importance of the net. What is our net? And our net is our relationship with one another. So if we were to kind of hold hands and kind of twitch feet, we would have a series of gaps, which in sense we would become a net. Now, we're not out there to kind of catch things to eat. Thankfully, Sainsbury's is pretty good at that. They've already got it covered. But we're there to encourage people to come into something that we represent of Jesus, something that God has given us the culture of, the life of, things that he's done through us that we can't deny anymore. We have to stand there. I mean, you know, he does things through you, and no one's ever going to convince you otherwise that there is a God. You can't deny it, can you? God's done it, and he proved it in my life. So you can say what you like, but the blood of his thing and the word of my testimony says God's alive and I know it. Come on. So our tightly knitted net is a body of people in relationship with each other. And there is a sense in which we need to, from time to time, just like Freedom did, Freedom, the course that takes you through 12 weeks and then you do the encounter. You do, as I said before, like an MOT. It's almost like you, with the net, we need sometimes to take a honest look at who we are. Who we are as a body. What are our characteristics? What are the things that make us who we are? When people come in, what do they see? What do they encounter? What do they suddenly experience, or are they aware of? What are our Christ-like things when they come into us that makes us a body that is different from other bodies? And we all know we're all different. So that net that Andrea spoke about a while ago, is the relationship that we have. And that is key. Because it's also that relationship of intimacy with God that we have individually. Then we have that intimacy that we have as a corporate. And then an intimacy that we have that continues through, which allows us to go, to be effective. Jesus knows all about nets. Paul knew all about nets. He used to fix them. And there lies a little thing. So over the course of time, like Freedom, doing an MOT, you realise that things aren't quite working the way they should. Things don't operate where they used to. Really well-oiled and well-machined bushes are kind of a little on the old wobbly side. You wouldn't get that with a Rolex watch, don't you, Tony Dad? Cars are obviously a particular kind of thing. They wear a bit, and God knows that, and we, you know, and that's why sometimes we have to pray for healing. because, yeah, things happen, and God knows. But as a body, we are tied together by seven principles, which the Lord kept me up last night, Sharon will know. They're not new principles, they're biblical principles. They're principles that some of you may already know. It's principles that we, through the college, have been through. Pastor Colin, back in 2008, spoke this key message to the at the 8 o'clock. Now, I haven't got from 8 o'clock till whenever he finished to be able to bring this to you. But I believe God was putting this on my heart for us as a body to show us that the things that we have are important. We need to think, and we can also do a little look at them and go, am I doing this the way God wants? Is this right? Now, we can see this happening by the way that the Lord's moving. And as this, the steps that God is taking us through brings this college to an end, it doesn't mean that it stops. God is continuing, but he's continuing something totally different. Totally different and unique for us as this body. Now we can stand, you know, and say, well, you know, this has happened, that's happened. This college has been great. This college has been great to us. It's been a real blessing to us over the years, and that's wonderful. And we're not there to say anything about the college, but we're a body that needs to be able to show our love, no matter where we are. And it's not about the college. It's all about what we are outside of this place and who we are to others. And that is the main step that God's taken us through. It's not about we've got nice PA equipment and we've got all that gear. We don't need that stuff. And I believe that the reason why God is doing what he's doing is because he's saying, let's strip this back a bit. Let's just get rid of a few gimmicks. Let's get rid of a few things that we rely on too much. And on the Wednesday, it was amazing on Wednesday. The Lord really broke through in areas that are fantastic. And it was kind of emphasizing, if the whole world just falls off its axis and goes mad, we've still got God. It's God. We don't care about anything else. We don't bother about what else is going on. We just want God. We just love God as a body of people. And therefore, it's nice to have a pull thingy or a pingy lector or something to stand in front of, but you can hold your book. I mean, it doesn't make much difference, does it? We don't have to have nice chairs, but it's nice to sit on nice chairs. Now, I'm not saying that because we're going to your house, but anyway. But anyway, but the point is that I believe God is stripping back things and making us realise what's important. And I'll tell you what's important. The net. Us. Us as a group of people are important. And these seven principles are going to lay down what I believe God wants to do through us through this next phase and how it will deepen our, let's just put it a different way. How, if we've got nets that are, or our net is torn or a bit ripped or a hole has got a bit bigger or something stretched it and made it bigger than it should. I think this is the time where the Lord is saying, darn those nets, make those nets back, fill those holes. Because there's no point in going out there and saying to people, come and be part of this wonderful thing, and then letting them come in, the net takes them in, we try to be good and we try to do what the Lord's saying to us, and then they just fall through the hole out the other side. That's not what God wants. God knows everybody out there is precious because we are precious. We were out there once. So we know what it's like. And we want people to come into a warm, welcoming, hostile. just for the tape. Hospitable. Hospitable place where people are nice and wonderful. Anyway, I was just making sure you're listening. Right. Okay. So they devoted themselves faithfully, steadfastly, and she's got to go. and continue to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. And that's what our net is going to be like for a while or two, where people can come into that. I believe God is preparing our hearts. He was preparing our hearts with things like, get intimate with me, and then he's moving us on. But the one thing I really like is that when God does things like this, he's not wanting us to build his church. He's not wanting us to shape how it looks like. He's not wanting us to tell him where it's gone wrong. He's not wanting us to point out the negative things or the things that aren't working. He's not wanting any of that from us. All he wants us to do is be intimate with him. Because he knows all that other lot doesn't matter. That's him. He says, I'm building my church. I'll build it how I like. Thank you. I know how to build a church, or I know how to build a group of people together that have got nothing in common with one another, in a sense. Knit people together that they are so intimate with one another that they would lay down their life for a friend. You know? So that's good. I woke up last Sunday. I woke up, and thankfully, that's always a good thing. And the Lord—it's almost like at this moment. I don't know whether anybody else is having it, but I believe they are. We are in a battle at the moment, and I know Caroline sensed it. A lot of people are sensing that there is a battle going on, and it's serious, and. It's almost like at the moment that the Lord's just put like a cine screen in front of my eyes and just replaying things across it and just saying, watch this, watch this, watch this. And it's just a continual vision of stuff going on. And last Sunday, I woke up with a battle scene in front of me. A little bit like a Roman battle scene. The Romans are very good at being able to fight. They knew how to fight. And it was a row of horsemen, and they were coming through a load of forest area out into a clearing to attack. And all I could hear was, hold the line. Hold the line. Now, I'm not advocating that we're Roman warriors going in there to kill people, but the analogy of this is that we're going together. Hold the line. Yep. Hold the line together. We're all in this together. Hold the line with the vision that as we move, we're all together. Mm-hmm. Right? No one's too far out. No one's too far, whatever. And then it said, all of a sudden, it became aware that the hold the line became a point and broke through, and the word, watch the flanks. Because the flanks are the weakest point, right, of any attack. Once you break through, the flanks are the area which are most exposed. Romans knew that. They knew that the easiest way to do that was to work in fours, but they had, as soon as one went down, another man went in. So they made sure that their flanks weren't exposed. And the word, watch the flanks, care for the flanks, look after the flanks, to make sure. And I believe that came right on a tightly knitted net. Watch the net, in other words. Watch the net. Make sure that their people aren't going to go out the holes or aren't going to go out of tears or rips or things like that. Let's go together. Hold the line together. We're going to go together. So with that, there's no intention that we are going to do this all on our own. You know, God's saying we're doing this together as a group of people, as a body. He's encouraging us. And I think it's an absolutely amazing opportunity for God to do whatever he wants. He stripped back the canvas and he's saying, right, okay, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to say. Just follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me. Okay, so let me just start to talk about these five, seven. I'll just test him. Seven. See, you didn't pick it up, did you? Sharon did. When she went, seven. Seven. The seven principles. Yeah. Seven principles. Like I said, these were, Pastor Colin did this at the keynote speech, and I believe this is our kind of like our MOT rub. Just having a check through, just looking around, checking your nets, just to see how it's going. First one, I belong to you, and you belong to me. I belong to you, and you belong to me. We're not on our own. We're all together. So there's no getting away from it. I belong to you, and you belong to me. You can't say, well, there's some I'd prefer to belong to, and some maybe not so much. But we belong to each other. As this body, we belong to each other. And our net needs to show that we belong to one another. The second one is, I love you, and I am willing for you to love me. I love you, and I'm willing for you to love me. So there's a double there. Not only am I willing, but I've also got to be prepared to receive the love that you'll give. How's our net doing? Yeah. I love you. Number three, I will provide for you when I am able and will not withhold what I can do to bless you. Yeah, I will provide for you if it is physically possible or whatever possible for me in any way, shape or form. Normally time, isn't it? It's normally time. It's like, oh, could you give me a hand? And you go, hello? but the other day they said, you've only got to ask, just ring up and I'll be available any time. I'm sorry, I can't do this weekend. Sorry, I can't do next weekend either. I'm sorry, I can't. Yeah, but you said, I will provide for you. I will give to you whatever I can. I'm not going to withhold that. If you need something, then I'm there for you. I'll not withhold any blessing. And also, that this came through when Pastor Colin spoke about when they were at the Bethel, when they first started the Bethany Fellowship, and they had all sold all of their possessions and moved into the Bethany Fellowship place. And he explains that it's kind of like the first time they got a brand new car. He said, I went and fetched this car and had it 5 minutes. And someone came up and said, can I borrow it? And he said, then you realize it's not yours. It's not yours anymore. It's all of us. We all own it. It's all ours. And he said, it's a challenge. You know? So, yeah, you realize that it's, you know, that's where it is important. Number four. I will defend you against any who speak or act negatively against you and will refuse to speak negatively of you myself. Massive. Ooh, is it massive? It's so easy to grumble and complain and the music's too loud and the lights are too bright and the preacher's going on and on and on. It is, isn't it? It's so easy to, like, the chairs aren't that comfy and the person I'm sitting next to is a pain. And it's just so easy to slip into negativity. Our attitude kind of like starts to slip and we're kind of like, oh, did you sit? Did you feel the same thing when that happened? That's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants to tear the net a little bit. Rip that net, just put another hole big enough for another person to slip out the door. Well, that's not what we're about. It says, I will defend you as well. Anyone who speaks negatively of you or acts towards you negatively, I will speak up and watch your back. I'll say no. You don't talk to that person like that. He or she is a child of God, therefore no one has a right to speak negatively over you. That bulges the net a bit because we're in a society that loves to build people up and then knock them down, loves to find problems, issues. They don't defend people against it. They want to see it happening. And it's all out there. So, no, the world isn't interested in devoting itself. The world is interested in just itself and what it can get out of it. Now, number five, I believe this counteracts literally number four. I will honor you and will obey those who are over me in the Lord. What is honouring? Well, honouring is not sitting at home one night discussing how bad the service was on Sunday or thinking about how bad things have been or all sorts of stuff and not saying, oh, well, did you notice blah, blah, blah. So that counteracts that number four, talking negatively. Honouring is esteeming and building up and encouraging and putting the person who has a gift or a blessing or some position over them, putting them in their rightful place. They're not better than anybody else, but they've been put there by God. And honouring is giving them that rightful position and saying, I place you there, and I'll do all these other things before that as well to make sure that, you know, that they're honouring, I'm honouring you and giving what you're the position that God's given you. I will honour and obey all those that are over me. That's a big one, honour. Honour. Honour destroys churches. Honour destroys relationships, if not done correctly. A lack of honour. A lack of honour to our pastors. A lack of honour to the team, or a lack of honour to individuals personally, treating them less than they should be, destroys. It kills, it pulls down. It does the devil's work for him. And I don't want to stand here and preach blah, 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 but all I want to say is we want to honour our leaders, people who are in a position of authority, people who are over us, and we want to obey them because we believe God's put them there. That's where the money, that's where your money where your mouth is, if you know what I mean. You know, okay, I can honour you, but then if you say go do this, then I'll go do it. If I don't go do it, then I haven't honoured you. Simple. Number 6. I will be faithful to you and will not treat my covenant duties lightly. One of the things God really highlights is faithfulness. Because it's one thing that the world's not interested in. The Lord, you know, the Lord says, you know, faithfulness. I am a faithful God. I'm a faithful God to you. You be faithful. The world isn't interested whether it's faithful or not. One day it'll say one thing, and if it can get something better, it will do something else the next day, and it will move on and on and on until it gets what it wants. It's not interested in being faithful. It's not interested because that requires a commitment. That requires a relationship. That requires more than just hanging around for 10 minutes. That requires a long-term thing. I'm faithful to you. I'll stand with you. I'll be there. And the last one. I will forgive you. I will not allow any failure on your part to hinder our relationship. If I find that I am also holding anything from you and not forgiving you, then I will be quick to forgive. So if I've offended you, if I've hurt you, if I've upset you, then I want to be quick to say I'm sorry, because it's a two-way street, and I don't want to offend anyone, I don't want to upset anyone. But it happens, doesn't it? You do. Unintentionally, things happen, things get said, things get took out of context, blah, blah, blah. But there has to be forgiveness quickly. Quickly, instantly, as soon as you know, as soon as you're aware, as soon as God kind of like, that you need to forgive. So they're the seven. They're the seven which I believe that... It says, one of the things we believe God wants to do in this season is to make us even more a tightly knitted net. We believe this speaks of our relationship and commitment we have towards one another. So, I belong to you. Our net means that we belong to each other, I belong to you. I love you, and I pray you love me. I will provide for you, and if I am in need, I pray you will provide for me. I will defend you, and if someone is attacking me in any way, shape, or form, I pray you would defend me. I will honour you, and I pray that you would honour me as a person of God. I will be faithful to you as long as it takes, and pray that you would be faithful to me as long as it takes. And I will forgive you and pray that you'd forgive me. And I believe those seven are key to our net, our relationship as a group of people. So, just for a few moments, I'd like you, just on your tables, wherever you are, if you want to just make more of a table. I'm sure you've written them down somewhere. But if not, I'll repeat them again. Just discuss, what do you think that means for our net? And as a group of people who we are, what do you believe the Lord is saying to you as part of that net? Because we can't get away from it. We are the net. And see what the Lord says to you. Just for a few moments. I like it. It's good. I like it when people don't shut up. And they just keep going. It's just great. They've got a lot to talk about. Yeah, no. Okay, so let me just round this up a little bit. They're quite a challenge when you realize that we're not talking about someone else here, we're talking about ourselves. You know, we're talking about my part in all this. And they kind of hit right at the apple core of who we are. But God is good. God is so good, and it's so exciting when God does something like this, because you know he's preparing the ground for movement. And the Lord gave me a vision yesterday morning. I'll tell you what, I'll write a book on these things. And I sent it to Kai, and it was a vision of a well in a kitchen of a 17th century house. And the Lord showed me this well. And there was a video of this guy unblocking this well, and it was 17 foot deep and right in the middle of his kitchen. And I really, really sensed that the Lord was saying that for the season that we need to, the Lord has moved the pillar of fire and we're moving. And that is good. But underneath Kai and Andrea's house at this moment is a well exactly the same, going down to that fresh water. So he's moved from here to there. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, but the same blessing underneath their house. I believe it's really significant that we understand that God is tapping us in still to his blessing and to who he is. It's a spiritual thing. God is doing it. And so I believe that's really important, that we're going to go, because we're that tightly knitted net, because we need one another, and because we are for one another and belong together, that means we have to do certain things together, which sometimes might mean that we have to start opening up the well. And we might have to get some bricks out. We might have to get some dirt out. We might have, like the video on the video, the guy was covered and he was going down on this plank, pulling out bricks, pulling out bits of stuff in there. And when it was finished, the water at the bottom and the sides and the top, and he lit it, and it was just like That's your blessing, Lord. It's there. But we might have to do a bit of work. A little bit of work, just to get our hands dirty. And some of that work is dealing with some of those issues in our lives about this net. So it's all linked together. When God does something, He's already prepared the ground. He knows where we're going to. And the blessing is there. The blessing is for us. He's for us. He's not against us. So I just want to read this again, because we must lose sight of how important this is, that we devote ourselves faithfully, steadfastly, and continuously to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I believe that will kind of lead us into a time of communion.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.